Good morning. This morning we're going to take a short break. We had our mission conference last week, and we're going to look at 1 Peter verses 1 and 2 this week. It's the same passage that our College Station congregation will look at tonight. About 30, 35 times in the coming year, we will work from the same passages in both congregations so that we can accent our togetherness. So Ben will be preaching from this passage in College Station tonight. I'll be preaching from it this morning. We'll return to our study in Galatians next week, and they'll do a launch series. And this summer, we'll come back together, and we're going to do some psalms, some messianic psalms, and we'll be doing those together in the summer. So 1 Peter, verses 1 and 2. Would you pray with me, and we'll hear God's word together. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for a word that is rich, that is true, that is free. And so, Father, we pray that you would illuminate our hearts to the teaching of your word, that you would speak, Lord, and that we would listen. Give us ears to hear, and would you touch us at the level of the heart so that we may respond to you as a people of grace and truth, because you have gifted us with the beauties of grace and truth. So, Father, speak now, that we may hear. Help us to receive that which is a good gift from your own hand, the word of God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's the word of God. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with His blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. You know, we're in our world. If we look at our world is in crisis. Just 10 days ago or so, there was a shooting, I guess 11 days ago, there was a shooting in Florida that has been the discussion of the national spotlight for several days. A 17-year-old boy named Nicholas walked into a school and killed 17 people, wounding 6 more. And we say, collectively as a nation, as a people, what is going on? We begin to discuss answers. How can we answer this predicament? Some of those stay very much on the social, political, behavioral level. But as a church, we look at what the real issues are. That evil is a problem in our world. And that the only hope is that hope that is offered in Christ. We are a grace and peace kind of people. And we have the opportunity in suffering to share the status and the joy of belonging to Christ, because we are a grace and peace kind of people sharing the grace and peace of God. Some years ago, 9/11, not all of you will remember, but many of you will remember exactly where you were at 9/11 when planes embarked from American airports and dove into the World Trade Centers, into the Pentagon, and one into a field because it was deterred from its actual course. There we asked, what's going on with the world? Our whole ethos as a country was changed. Interestingly, as people had that public discourse, 9 months later, a guy named Bruce Springsteen released an album called The Rising. Now, Springsteen is not a believer, but he often got comments about that particular song, The Rising, which was a song about hope rising, about firefighters and their job and the desire of rising through the suffering, into something better. The song leaves you hanging a little bit. It offers hope, but not the full answer. But Peter offers us the full answer this morning, that we are a grace and peace people who have grace and peace multiplied to us, and we are multiplying that in the world. And in verse 3, the verse that follows our text this morning, Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We are a people of hope this morning. because we are a people who have been taught. When we launch out in new endeavors as we are today with two congregations, one church and two congregations, we are launching out in hope of being a people as resident aliens, as elect exiles who know that God wants to do a good work in our community, Bryan and College Station. Wants to do a good work in our lives and in the midst of the lives of those who God puts in our path. And so we celebrate with Peter this morning that call to be a resident people with a citizenship in heaven. We always feel just a little out of place, don't we? You ever feel out of place? Is there that sense of dislocation in your world that just feels a little out of place? Well, Peter addresses that this morning. We're a dislocated people. We are a resident people in Bryan College Station, but there is something alien about the experience for us. We're dislocated, and it kind of nags at us, doesn't it? It nags just a little bit that we are different and called to be different. We are different and called to be different. We are the elect, the loved of God. We are exiles in the world. And that's the kind of people that Peter is speaking to this morning. A people of God who are displaced. The elect exiles of the dispersion. Scattered. God has this way of scattering His people that the kingdom might grow. Scattering His people that the grace and peace of Jesus might be manifold. It's multiplied in abundance to us. And it's to be multiplied in abundance through us. And there's the real heart of our text this morning, that we are a people of grace and peace called to share the grace of peace of God. We are a people that delights to live in and for Jesus, where He has placed us. But sometimes that comes in challenges, doesn't it? You ever feel like you have to stand for something when the world around you would go a different way? You know, we like fun, Christians. If you're not a Christian, we like to have fun, don't we? We like jokes. But sometimes the joke will turn in a way that doesn't honor God. And if you don't laugh, you might be subjected to some emotional punishment for not laughing at the crudeness of a joke that would dishonor God. We like to work hard. That's a part of the ethos of the church, particularly a Reformation church like us. We believe that work is a gift from God. Work and rest is a pattern that we are to embrace in. But sometimes people, to get ahead in their work, will take avenues. They will try to appease to people that are dishonest or immoral. And if we don't do that, we might be subject to financial loss. But as a people of God in grace and peace, we would rather suffer the loss than the besmirchment or the casting down of the name of God. Sometimes we're in situations where it's known that we are Christians, and people will pick at that thing. They will pick at the fact that we are called to be different. And sometimes we feel like outsiders to the world we live in. Peter acknowledges that's part of our existence. As the loved of God, who long for a better place and a better reality, we are to live that place and that reality right where God has planned us. Right where He has planned us. And that's the plan of God for us. You see, the book of Peter is largely about the status of believers amidst the suffering of this life. And the truth is, if we're honest with ourselves, we like the status. We like being those with an inheritance, those who are called the children of God, those who live in great confidence and hope of the work of Jesus Christ. But Peter also tells us that suffering is a part of this broken world. Suffering is a part of this life. And there are times when our hearts hurt or we are ostracized in certain ways that we are actually joining in the sufferings of Christ for the gracing and peacing of the world around us. Why change anything? Well, we change because God has called us out into the world around us to love this community, to love Bryan and to love College Station because we have been given grace and peace in abundance. And our lives are to translate that grace and peace into the world around us. Peter largely speaks of the status we are given this morning as the elect of God, as the called out ones of God, even though we feel like we live exile lives. We just feel like there is this sense of belonging that we can't experience in the world. We can experience many of the privileges of the world. A good meal, a good movie, good family time, good friends. But sometimes there are privileges we must not engage in because they would demean the identity of our God-given status. And Peter begins to tell us why that's important. Why we live our life for another. And his reasons are Trinitarian, transformative, and about a treasure that gives us great grace and peace in this life. Jesus wants us to live in a way that puts God first. And God is in the middle of it all, isn't he? Notice there in verses 1 and 2, Peter's an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's a sent one. He's one who speaks the truth of God. And he is speaking to those who are dispersed, those people who feel like they're out of place, but that they have a place in the work of God. They're all over the place, from Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, verse 1, Asia, and Bithynia. But they are called to be there for the gracing and peacing of the world around them because of the work of a triune God. This is a great gift to us this morning. Peter wants us to know that our identity is Trinitarian formed. That the work of God's salvation for us is the work of God in relationship to himself, in relationship to us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are deeply committed to us. See, in salvation, God is the gift and the giver. God is the gift and the giver. Notice there, this salvation we have, it is according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. It's in the sanctification of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. In the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for the sprinkling of His blood. You see there the relational aspects? What guards us and guides us is a status that holds us amidst the challenges of the life we live. God is the giver and God is the gift. Everything that is done in our salvation, our belonging, as it were, our belonging is a gift from God. He gifts us with himself. The reason we can bear to live as just a little out of kilter with the world around us is because we're made for a better relationship. We're made for a better world. We are to live the beauties of that grace and peace in the world that God promises now and forever. Gift and giver. All you have this day is a gift from your God. Life is a gift. And what kind of gifts does our God give? He gives transformative gifts. Notice there in verse 5, it's according to the foreknowledge of God. We are loved and we are sanctified by the Spirit. So we're loved and we're set apart. And then in Jesus, we are submitting in obedience and cleansed. We are cleansed. The purpose of this transformation is to change us. And God using us, changing the world around us. Because of the great work of Jesus. It's transformational. Notice that idea of foreknowledge. We're not an afterthought. We have this great accommodation in our lives that God has known it forever. From the beginning, He is determined to place His love on a people set apart to Him. Foreknown. That has the idea of knowledge, but it even more in the Bible has the knowledge of being for love. God's put His love on us. In Ezekiel chapter 16, you can go back there later today. In Ezekiel chapter 16, God's electing love on Israel is talked about. And it's talked about as a love for a child, for an infant child, where God finds this infant child and He places His love on this child. And in covenant love, raises up a child that is a beautiful expression of the love of God. We would have no identity without the foreknowing love of God. We're a people who are known. You know, one of the greatest gifts of marriage, at least as I experience marriage, is being known by another and still loved. Being known by another and still loved. Now, I realize some of you may not have marriage. Maybe you have friendships or roommates or you long for those things. But the real beauty of relationship is not just getting into it. It's when someone sticks with you in that relationship that in knowing you, they still love you. And Jesus has put on us the love of the Father. It's not an accident. It's not an afterthought. Why are we a people set apart in grace and truth? Because we are foreknown. We are known of the Father's love from before. Before Israel was even aware of God's love, God made them a people. Raised them up as a people. Sent them forth as a people. And it is this picture of the church. Before you even knew what God was doing in your life, He put His love on His children. Raising them up, sending them forth. We are the foreknown of God, sanctified by the Spirit. Now, that's an interesting word there. And in the context here, what Peter means is a people set apart, a people consecrated to God. Because of the sinfulness of our heart, we must be consecrated and cleansed before the Lord. And it is the Spirit's work who changes. It's the Spirit who initiates change in us. And transformation comes by the plan of God. In the agency, in the active agency of the work of the Spirit in our lives. Notice there, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit. What makes a believer different is that the Spirit of God is at work in us and has initiated, consecrated us to be a people who depend on the work of Jesus and live in the light of Jesus. There's no life, no spiritual life, unless the Spirit's in it. Foreknown, set apart, consecrated, because we are a people cleansed in the love of God. You know, the work of the Trinity is masterful here. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, deeply loving a people, so that we might reflect the grace and peace, the glories of God as exiles. Elect exiles in the world. And notice there, this passage here, the work of Jesus. We are foreknown. That is, we are the called out ones who are consecrated, sanctified by the Spirit. And then we are cleansed. There in verse 2 again, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling by His blood. Now that's the challenging passage. This is the one that that most of the commentaries where they stop. What does it mean there for obedience? And the general consensus is this. I agree with this. That it is not the obedience of a life lived for Christ. That comes later in the book of Peter. But it's the obedience of submission. Of resting in the work of Christ. And it goes back to this picture that's in Exodus chapter 24. You can read Exodus a little later. Exodus 24 comes after God has given the law to the people as He is forming a nation of the people of Israel. He gives them His law, what it will look like to be the people of God. And then they are consecrated and cleansed in a worship service in chapter 24. God calls Moses to call the people apart. And they're to make sacrifice. They're to come under the blood. And in that sacrifice, as the different heads of the tribe make sacrifice of the bulls and the oxen, they take the blood, and half of the blood is put upon the altar, and the other half of the blood is split into bowls, and Moses sprinkles it on the people. It's this picture of cleansing. What makes us a people is that we are cleansed by the blood. Not the blood of bulls and goats, as in the Old Testament, but by the blood of Jesus. We, our identity, our status, our life is formed in being covered and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Who are we? Westminster, who are we this morning? But the cleansed, consecrated, called out ones of God. Who experience the grace and peace of the Lord in abundance. You see, we are a transformed people because of the work of a Trinitarian God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He lets us into the storeroom of His treasures. And this really is, as it were, a summation of the whole book. Why do we keep on? Because of this promise, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. There's the treasure of Christian living. We're a people of grace and peace. We live in a world that magnifies performance, and God bestows on us grace. We live in a world that experiences grace, but God gives us peace. Grace, not what you deserve, but what God freely gives in the righteous and whole life of Jesus, who died and has risen that we may experience life in the fullest. Peace. Peace because God knows that we are estranged, and He ends that estrangement by giving Himself to us that we may know peace. Even when we struggle with others around us, to know that God has made a way for peace with us, and by that peace to extend peace through us. Grace, a gifted people with the riches of eternal life. Peace, a shalom, a wellness, a wholeness of being that can care for others because we don't have to be protective of self all the time. See the beauty of what Peter is drawing out. In a world where there's great suffering, there is a great need for a people with status with God who share His love and kindness. Called out ones, who while we are exiles in this land, long for others to know the riches of Jesus Christ. This Trinitarian gift that transforms is reminding that we give in small portion the greatness, the vastness of God. Once there was a time when Augustine was writing his treatise on the Trinity. He wrote a book. It was a great tome, a large book on the Trinity. And as he wrote it, he was trying to put forth his knowledge on the Trinity. And as he finished that book, he was walking along the Mediterranean, along the sea, and he came upon a boy. This was in North Africa on the Mediterranean. He came upon a boy who was digging a hole and then putting water in it. And Augustine said to the young boy, he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm putting the Mediterranean into my hole." And Augustine said to him, "Well, that's impossible. You will never get the vastness of the sea into your small hole." And as he walked on away from there, all of a sudden he was struck by the very thing that he had been trying to do in explaining the Trinity. He was never going to get the vastness of God into his small conception. But here's the beauty, people. Here's the beauty of being the people of God. The vastness and joy of belonging to the God of all the universe, who is immense and great and awesome, is that He has made us His people and a light as His people of grace and peace in the world around us. What is our hope and our confidence? In the difficulties of the day around us, in the hardships and the fears that control so many, is that we have hope and confidence in the grace and peace of Jesus given to us. Now, it's kind of an occupational hazard. One of the things about being a pastor is you just learn to live with it. It's an occupational hazard. When people learn you're a pastor, they're automatically going to have a response to you. Some of you know we moved into a new neighborhood, and one of the things we have sought to do is get to know the people in our neighborhood. And so the first couple of people we introduced ourselves to in the neighborhood, some of them were excited that we were a pastor, and some of them were like, "Oh no, not another pastor. There's actually another pastor that lives in the circle. Not another pastor." I love those moments. I love the awkwardness of those moments. Maybe you think that's a little perverse, but the thing is that I have to lean into the awkwardness. It's an occupational hazard. People want to speak to the pastor, or people don't want to speak to the pastor, and it's often abundantly clear. The last three people I've met in my neighborhood as we walked around the street is, "Oh, you live in the Smith's house." That's the people who own the thing. "Yeah, we live in the Smith's house. You're the pastor, right?" "Yeah, I'm the pastor." It's beautiful. Because I don't have to work on that relationship. I can just lean right into it. How can I pray for you today? You know, there is this sense in being a Christian in the world that we're all that way. You know, some of us tend to hold back. We're afraid of what people will know. But when God has planted you somewhere, He has planted you there for the good of that community and for the good of those relationships. Don't hide what is true of you. If God has placed you in a place to be grace and peace to the community around you, delight in it. Draw upon the resources that God has given. He gives us grace and peace in abundance. Can you see that promise there? May grace and peace be multiplied to you. What is God's gift to us this morning? A people of grace and peace. A people of status who are loved by God and who are in love with God and who are called to love others around us. What do we have to give? We have to give the very riches of God. And we don't have to worry about it being held back from us because God has given grace and peace in abundance. You know, it's oft said in churches, God will meet you where you are. But the beauty of the gospel is God never leaves us where He meets us. He's always transforming. He's always doing a good work. We are a pilgrim people with grace and peace to give. And when you feel out of place, no, there's the opportunity to translate grace, mercy, and peace to the world around you. You know, the world is confused about God. The world, those that you come in contact, or if you're wrestling with belief this morning, maybe you're confused about God. But the world is confused about God because we're always seeking to make ourselves better for God. But it's a gift. And in that gift, we receive the joys of God. And we're always translating. And I'll always remember I was in Poland at one point in my life. And I had gotten removed from the team and I needed to eat and we were going to meet a couple hours after dinner. And so I walked into a restaurant and it was just me. And so I sat down and I looked at a menu that was only in Polish. I couldn't read a word on that menu. I didn't know what to ask for. And so I looked down and the closest word that looked like a word to English was the word stek. S-T-E with some little fluidy little thing on the top of it, K. Steak. So I thought, steak. I'll try that. And so I looked at the waitress and I said, steak. I said, she didn't speak English. I don't think it's steak. Good? Good? Dobrze? That was about the only word I knew in Polish at the time. Dobrze? Dobrze. Yes, yes, yes. And a moment later, she brought back to me this leathery piece of liver. And these three-day-old boiled potatoes. It wasn't a great meal. In my childhood, when I got liver and peas, I tried to cut them up and put them under the plate. Of all the things that were on that menu, I think steak would have been my least favorite thing. I never ordered in Poland another meal without a translator right there with me. Here's my point. You know, one of the gifts of the church, one of the gifts of the church for the world around us is that we get to translate the gifts of God for the people around us. People are afraid they're going to come in and what God's going to give them is a leathery piece of liver. I know a few of you like liver. I don't understand you. But really what we have to offer is the primus piece of joy and peace and grace at God's table. Beloved, would you live in who you are in Christ? Graced and peaced by God Himself. I know the vastness of God and you are still seeking to understand why God would be so free and generous with you. But as He is free and generous with you, would you share that freedom and generosity with the world around you? More than half of the people in Bryan College this morning in our community, though we think of this as a church community, more than half of the people in our community this morning will not be in a church at any point this day. They will have no relationship with the giftings and the grace and the peace of God. We multiply because grace and peace are multiplied through the church into the community for the grace of God. The funny thing is we have so much to share. And we share it in the journey. If we truly believe that we are a gospel community for life's journey, it's not just what we share here in this room this morning, but it's what we share in all of life as the people of grace and peace to the world around us. We share His grace and peace day by day. Why? Because we're foreknown. We're sanctified. We're the obedient and sprinkled of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You couldn't be more blessed this morning than in the love of God who gives you what you don't deserve and assures you that you are His for all eternity. You couldn't be more blessed than you are in the certainties. May His grace and peace be abundantly multiplied to you. Pray with me. Our Father in heaven, it is my prayer this morning that you would make us as a church, us as a people, Westminster, a people who sink roots deeply into peace and grace and share generously peace and grace because you are at work. Father, you have greeted us and welcomed us in grace and peace. Would you send us forth to greet and welcome the world around us in the grace and peace that satisfies? Help us to translate divine gifts that have divine origins for people with struggles all around us. But begin in us, Father, help us to receive the good gift of grace and peace that we might delight all the more in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.